is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Well, this parable defies any full or satisfactory understanding, and perhaps that is the point. Last Wednesday night, we used this gospel before we began our business meeting. We read it, and we reacted to it, and we thought about it, and there was a lot of reaction. It's confusing. I don't get it. What about dishonest wealth? What? What about this dishonest wealth? And one of the vestry members said, well, I can serve God and wealth. I use my wealth to serve God. So there was quite a discussion. Commentators, theologians, they are right with us. Here are some comments from theologians. Much as commentators disagree as to the meaning of this parable of the unjust manager, all are agreed as to the embarrassment it has caused. Another, it is the problem child of parables. Another, the prince among difficult parables. And it is a notorious puzzle. What is Jesus talking about, asking of us? Applauding the dishonesty of a manager, commending his ability to adapt to his situation dishonestly, challenging the disciples to employ shrewdness. Shrewdness about things of lasting importance. Are we faithful with the resources we have been given? How do we use them? How do we make decisions? Because in this parable, there was a turning point for this manager. His life had been going this way. Now he's going to lose his job. It's the way a change happened in his life. And all of us have moments that cause change. So what is or has been a turning point in your life? Was it the threat of losing a job, a marriage, a family member? Did you, in fact, lose your job? Did you lose a marriage? Has someone died that is close to you recently? Dramatic catalysts, events in our lives cause change. When my marriage ended after 10 years, I was adrift. An inner change was happening. A transition was happening. Something I had never thought was going to happen was now happening. I had to face the future. I had to make some new decisions. After my annulment in the Catholic Church, which was a year or two after the marriage ended, you know, it's time, I felt it inside. It's time for me to become what I'd always felt called to be, which was a priest. So there was this dramatic change, and all of us have moments that something shifts and a new step is taken. So how do we make our decisions? What do we base them on? I preached a while ago about what are your values? How do you make your decisions? Could they be values that you base your decisions on, such as honesty, which is the opposite of today's gospel, or truth? Is it justice? Do you base your decisions on love or family or God? And do we make our decisions looking beyond ourselves too, and not just focused on ourselves or our immediate family, but consider a community and the world? So Friday, I was caught up, maybe like many of you, with hearing on the news of the demonstrations for climate change. And I saw a photo of Greta Thunberg, aged 15, 1 year ago, sitting by herself in front of the Swedish Parliament, all by herself, with a sign raising awareness on climate change. A year later, on Friday, almost a million across the world, teenagers especially, stepped out, made a decision beyond themselves to raise awareness. This is a quote from Greta, and it really struck me. When haters go after your looks and differences, it means they have nowhere left to go. Then you know you are winning. Now listen to this. Greta, I have Asperger's. That means she's highly functioning autistic. And that means I'm sometimes a bit different from the norm. And given the right circumstances, being different is a superpower. A girl stepped out, thinking beyond herself, and made a decision. And it had ripple effects. What is within you that you're sensing it's time to step out or make a new decision or change? Greta used what she was given, her feelings and thoughts, and knew, even though she had Asperger's, she could still make a difference. And here we are, and Leo Biscaglia says to us, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. And a clergyman wrote, sometimes we may ask God for success, and God gives us physical and mental stamina. We might ask God, plead for prosperity, and we receive an enlarged perspective and increased patience. We may petition God for growth, and we are blessed with the gift of grace. How do we talk to God in the midst of these circumstances that catch us up short? How do we petition or plead with God? In other words, how do we pray? I pride myself on my efficiency. I can multitask with the best of them. And I rush really well. And I hear God saying, take time to smell the roses. Do you take time to smell the roses? These are from my garden. I enjoyed cutting them and bringing today. And I did it in slow motion. I didn't rush. There's a story that was written many years ago called The Color Purple. Alice Walker, written in 1982, won the Pulitzer Prize 1 year later. I had to read that book for a feminist theology class when I was getting a master's in ministry. I remember nothing in that feminist theology class except reading the book, The Color Purple, and a sentence from that book. It's like a Jesus sentence. It tries to shock you. I think it pisses God off if you walk by the color purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. People think pleasing God is all God cares about. But any fool living in the world can see God always trying to please us back. Our relationship with God is a two-way street. Always a two-way street. Giving and receiving, receiving and giving. It is alive. This rose is alive. You are alive. Don't walk by anyone, but recognize the presence of God in everything and everyone. So how do you make your decisions? Here is a story. A wealthy businessman was astonished to see a fisherman sitting beside his boat playing with a small child. "Why are you not out fishing?" asked the businessman. "Because I have caught enough fish for one day," said the fisherman. Puzzled, the businessman asked, "Why don't you catch some more fish?" The fisherman replied, "What would I do with them?" "You could earn more money," said the businessman. "Then, with the extra money, you could buy a bigger boat, go into deeper waters, and catch more fish. Why, you would make enough money to buy nylon nets, catch more fish, make even more money, and be able to buy more boats. Eventually, you could have a whole fleet of boats and be rich like me." "Then what would I do?" asked the fisherman. "Well," said the businessman, "you could really enjoy life." The fisherman looked at the businessman quizzically and asked, "What do you think I am doing?" "Playing with a little child." What are your decisions for? Where are they coming from? Where is your wealth? Remember the God factor as your anchor. Amen.